Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
1-1 pitch. Fastball pulled and passed. Alvarez in toward the corner.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball at cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris.
Monday, June 3rd. What's going on? Welcome, everybody. This is Fantasy Baseball Today. I am Adam Azer. I am ready for another day, another week of awesome fantasy baseball talk, coverage, hopefully results. And I am ready for David Fletcher to carry me to victory this week. He's one of the players, one of the many, many players we're going to be talking about today. And welcome to your Monday show. Hope you all had a great weekend. Hope you watched us on CBS Sports HQ. If you think I make some mistakes on my outros on this show, you got to watch the video version. You'll have fun with it. So here's Scott White. What's going on, Scott? Happy Monday.
Adam, how are you?
I'm great. Heath, good morning.
Good morning. I was afraid that I was going to be late this morning. Thankfully, you guys had some issues that you had to deal with, so I wasn't. I was looking through my closet, through all my dresser drawers. I could not find my Team Kreath shirt that I wanted to wear in today after our absolute drubbing of Team Scam last week in fantasy baseball.
You know, Scott, I'm sure you're aware, gambling is becoming more and more acceptable, legalized throughout the country. I don't know if we're ever going to get to the point where I can place a wager on what Heath is going to say at the beginning of a show, but if we had been able to for today, I would have made a lot of money. I knew that was coming. I knew it was going to be the first thing he said, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Well, I mean, it's a relevant thing that happened in fantasy baseball last week, and that's what we're here to talk about. So I think it was 8-1 to 1, last I saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that where
I do find it, like, I'm willing to take an L in this league forevermore and just admit that I'm not good at Heath's goofy format if we can just never talk about it again, because it feels like it's the only league we ever talk about. And it's not even like the flagship podcast league. Those poor guys are getting the shaft.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I think it's become the flagship podcast league.
No, I don't agree. In fact, Scott beat me pretty handily in the flagship podcast league. It was a bad weekend for me in the podcast leagues. All right, let's listen, by the way. Sunday was wacky. Sunday was crazy. You had to be active on your waiver wire. You have to be active right now. Alex Reyes looks like he's going to start this weekend, so I'm excited about him. Nick Pivetta, I can't believe I dropped him. That could be the biggest mistake I made all year. Or he could go back to being Nick Pivetta next start. Who knows? But Sunday was just wacky. Jay Bruce going to Philadelphia. Jay Bruce on the road this year. He's batting .261 with a .630 slugging percentage. So let's start with one hitter to add and one pitcher to add. And Scott, why don't you go first? Give me one hitter to add.
It was a pretty, like, it was the worst weekend for ad drops for me.
It's the exact opposite to what Adam just said. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
on. Yeah. I mean, Nick Pivetta, if he's still out there, and he was in 50% of leagues, I don't think any of mine, but he was in like 50% of leagues when I checked last night after yesterday's start. I mean, it just seems like a no-risk pickup. I'm not saying you have to start him again, but there's a reason everybody was so enthusiastic. It was like the trendiest breakout pick coming into the season. And,
Scott,
you know, breakouts don't always happen on April 1st.
Scott, you're not doing your assignment right. This is hitter time. I need the hitter to add.
Okay.
You wrote the sleeper hitter.
I added Hunter Pence. Who's my number one sleeper hitter for this week.
Okay.
The ownership's getting pretty high for him to still qualify for that list. But he keeps delivering week after week. And, you know, completely reconstructed his swing this offseason. So I think that's reason enough to at least have an open mind with him, even though he's a 36-year-old who couldn't hack it with the Giants last year.
All right, Heath, give me one hitter to add.
I was not able to add this guy because he's owned in the leagues that I'm in, but Malik Smith is 52% owned. We talked about him quite a bit late last week because he had a good 2 or 3 game stretch. I think the Jay Bruce trade kind of helps everyone in Seattle to make sure they stay in the lineup. So, Malik Smith should be at least 70% owned.
All right, my hitter that I added was David Fletcher, and he just doesn't strike out. So if in a points league, he's very, very safe. So, yeah, I'm not sure how much I'm interested in Fletcher. Is now 61% owned, by the way, outside of a points league. But he does have five steals this year and 323 batting average. He has 730 OPS against lefties and 913 OPS against righties, which is weird because he leads off against lefties because Tommy La Stella doesn't hit so well against lefties. Look, he had 35 fantasy points last week for Fletcher. Let's be realistic here. This was his first week of more than 21 fantasy points. 21 fantasy points is solid. It's not like, you know, going to win you your week, but that's what I'm hoping for. I'm going to start him this week. I believe in the podcast league. Like, to me, honestly, it's down to Fletcher or Shohei Ohtani. They both obviously have the same good matchups this week, but Ohtani hasn't really been that good, and Fletcher's safe. I think you're going to get 20 or more fantasy points from him. So he's my guy, and I can't believe he's 61% owned.
Right, in that same range, a guy that's 55% owned, I actually did add Renato Nunez in a league. He has been on fire. And if you look at him on Baseball Savant, his exit velocity, his hard hit rate, his expected slugging percentage, they're all in the top 10% of the league. So this isn't all just a hot streak from a bad player. He's got some things to be excited about.
And especially against left-handed pitchers, like a 1,000 OPS Nunez has against them. Seven of his 15 home runs have come against them. All four of these hitters we've named, Pence, Smith, Nunez, and Fletcher, are among my top 10 sleeper hitters for this week. So they are all, yeah, I mean, if you need a fill-in starter for this week, all of them are viable options.
Nunez has three lefties this week out of six.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Smiley, yep. Minor, and Wade Miley. And he will see Garrett Cole, but he will not see Justin Verlander. Okay, a pitcher to add. I'm guessing Nick Pivetta has to be on that list. I believe there are many more that are interesting here. Heath, I'll go to you first. Give me a pitcher to add.
You shouldn't go to me first because I'm going to say someone that you guys are going to get mad about, and then I'm going to defend him, and then he's going to be awful.
Well, come on. So, let's go. Let's go.
Would you like to go ahead and do that?
Yeah, of course.
I added Chase Anderson in a couple of leagues.
I was thinking about it. I'm just not sure how many innings you're going to get from him per start, but what does he have, the Marlins and the Pirates this week?
Marlins and Pirates, and he has not been as good in terms of ERA as Zach Davies, but virtually every peripheral that we know of, Chase Anderson is a better starting pitcher than Zach Davies.
Well, but and yeah, he stinks. Like, does that mean he's good? Because you don't think very highly of Zach Davies.
No, I think Zach Davies is bad.
Right.
Well, I mean, Chase Anderson goes like, I'm looking at his game log here. So his last five starts, five innings, four innings, four innings, four and two-thirds innings, five innings. Like, he's not even going the minimum to get a win, much less a quality start most of the time.
Right.
I mean, most of the time he is.
No, I just, the last five I listed, five innings, four innings, four innings, four and two-thirds innings, five innings.
Yeah.
So that, you got to go five innings to get a win.
That was why I avoided him. That was why I avoided him. But I understand that you could get two wins from him. You could get two.
If I could make a bet on something, it would be Chase Anderson scoring more points than Zach Davies rest of season.
Rest of season. Okay. Okay. Scott, pitcher to add?
Take that bet.
Oh, all right. Very uninteresting.
Yeah,
bet.
Nick. I mean, Nick Pivetta is the most. You mentioned Alex Reyes too, and sure, and Jimmy Nelson. He's set to make his season debut this week. He's more owned than those other two, but they all have the potential to be impact pitchers. And I would swap out anyone who doesn't have the potential to be an impact pitcher, like a Chase Anderson or Marco Gonzalez. You say Kikuchi. I would swap out any of them for any of these other three. Obviously, it's not necessarily a high probability play. I mean, Nick Pivetta's start was as encouraging as anyone could ask for yesterday. It came against the Dodgers. He didn't walk anybody, which was the one thing that didn't go so well for him on his stint in the minors. He had a ton of swinging strikes, including with his secondary pitches. And just looked everything like the breakout candidate people were hoping for at the start of the season. I don't think you should activate him right away when you do pick him up. Obviously, we want to see more, but it was absolutely what you needed to see to renew that excitement. Jimmy Nelson, his minor league rehab assignment has gone kind of like Pivetta's stint in the minors went, where, oh, the strikeout rate's really high. Oh, so is the walk rate. But obviously he was an impact pitcher before hurting his shoulder. How many years ago was it now? 2 years ago. So, you know, I think last reports I saw on the Velocity had him around 92, 93, which was close to what he averaged when he was last healthy. His peak was higher. But he's also said he thinks the adrenaline of a major league game will boost it up more from there. And that was 2 weeks ago anyway, where I saw that report. I didn't see anything more recent than that. So, sure, reason to be excited about him. Alex Reyes, you know, he can hit 100 and with two great secondary pitches. So all of this is something to get excited about. None of them are ones I'm going to stick in my lineup right away. But again, you're looking for impact, and these pitchers have shown that kind of potential in the past.
I don't know that I have a problem starting Nick Pivetta this week against the Reds. He had 5 innings, 3 runs, 6 strikeouts against St. Louis, and then 6 scoreless innings with 9 strikeouts at the Dodgers. Now he gets the Reds at home. I don't think it's a bad start. He's 54% owned.
It could be anywhere between a 32-point start and a negative 15.
All right, the pitcher that I'd like to talk about, I'm not saying I prefer this guy to Pivetta or Jimmy Nelson or Alex Reyes or, you know, like Andrew Heaney, we haven't talked about. We will in a second. Andrew Heaney was dominant again this weekend. He's 77% owned. But Zach Plesac is 22% owned. So for those of you who are in deeper leagues, I picked up Zach Plesac in 2 leagues. I look for him, I think, in every league. And look, you look at the strikeouts in his first start. It was against the Red Sox. They don't strike out. And he had 2 strikeouts and 5 1/3 against the Red Sox. He was on the road and he gave up only 1 run. And then yesterday against the White Sox, 7 innings, 1 run, 7 strikeouts. And he was at a strikeout per inning, I believe, this year in the minors. So, 56 and 57 and a third with only 7 walks and a 1.41 ERA. So, I don't know. I feel like Plesac deserves to be owned in more than 22% of leagues, guys. What do you think?
I agree 100%. Yeah, I actually picked him up in a couple of leagues before this most recent start. And I think there's enough there. Like, track record's not real long in the minor leagues, but exceptional control. He's really had only 1 year where he had an ERA over 4, and it was 4.04 in the minors. He's off to a good start so far in the majors. I think he probably needs to be owned in 40 to 50% of leagues.
Okay, well, great. So is he now the second-best Indians pitcher?
Well, Shane Bieber's the second-best Indians pitcher, but he might be the first.
Who's the best? Please ask the best.
One of Carrasco or Bauer will figure it out and be better than Bieber.
I'm just messing around. Actually, Clevenger's on his way back. He's going to make a rehab start.
He might be the best Indians pitcher.
Yeah, he certainly might be. Rest of season. All right, more pitchers that you might want to consider adding in just a second. 2 things I have to promote real quick. Heath, you like poker, right?
A lot.
Yeah, I do too. I wish I played more often, but it's probably good financially that I don't. Well, it's that time of year again. The World Series of Poker is here. It's the 50th year of the most popular poker tournament in the world, and you can have a front row seat to the bracelet events with CBS All Access. Starting now until July 16th, you can live stream the final tables of 33 of the WSOP bracelet events. That includes 25 events that you cannot watch anywhere else. You have to go to CBS All Access for this. The bracelet events include the $100,000 high roller and the $100,000 six max. There's going to be a showdown of some of the biggest names in the game. The stakes are high. The tension is palpable. The winnings are huge. And you can watch all the events online or through the CBS app. So here's how you do it. Either go to cbs.com/poker, cbs.com, not CBS Sports, cbs.com/poker, or download the CBS app on your phone or your streaming device. You can get a free trial. So start watching today and don't miss any of the action. And speaking of watching something for free, we really do have a lot of fun on Sundays on CBS Sports HQ on Fantasy Baseball Today, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, subject to change depending on other events going on. But 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sundays, we read your tweets, we talk more fantasy, we kind of react to what's going on Sunday a little bit. It's good stuff. All right, some other starting pitchers that you might want to add. They are sorted by ownership percentage. 0 to 10 on the ownometer, 0 being they should not be owned in any leagues, 10, 100% owned. They should be 100% owned. Andrew Heaney is 77% owned. Where is he on the ownometer?
9.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go too. He has been really impressive since coming back from the DL. I think he had 22 swinging strikes in his start Saturday. And what's interesting is he hasn't even really worked in his third pitch yet, in changeup. He threw a lot last year. It's basically just been fastball, curveball. But it has been impressive.
Okay, Andrew Heaney will have Oakland this week. Still a chance to get him in shallower leagues. Lance Lynn, Now a 4.50 ERA, 22 walks, 77 strikeouts, and 74 and a third. Still a high whip, and he's kind of a high whip guy, 135 whip. But a great start against Kansas City, and he will also have Oakland this week. Lance Lynn, 71% owned, 0-10 on the ownometer.
Six.
Going to go at least 8. I think there's reason to be skeptical of him, but how many pitchers are even capable of doing what he's done over his last 7 starts? It's a very small number. 3.30 ERA during that stretch. And he made a change in his arsenal during that stretch. Went from throwing his 2 fastballs, both a 4-seamer and 2-seamer, a combined 75% of the time at the start of the season to 60% of the time in those 7 starts. It has made both more effective. And you know, you look over his track record, Lynn is a guy who has consistently outperformed his peripherals. Looking back to his years with the Cardinals before Tommy John surgery, when he was an unquestionable fantasy asset, the ERA was consistently lower than the FIP and XFIP. So, you know, the variance between those 2 fastballs seems to be the sort of thing that generates weak contact, and that's how you can outperform those peripherals.
Okay, Scott's higher on Lance Lynn than Heath is. How about Tyler Skaggs, 63% owned? You know, starting to pitch a little bit better. Tyler Skaggs, 0-10.
I think he's 8 probably as well.
Really?
I'd rather have Lynn, but yeah, I mean, 80% seems like the way his last two starts have gone. And he's kind of doing the same thing Heaney is, ditched the changeup in those 2 starts, just going fastball, curveball. I don't know if these guys don't know how to throw a changeup or what, but it's working for them.
Okay,
yeah,
guys.
Go 6 again, I think. Like I was definitely more excited about Skaggs coming into the year than I was Lance Lynn, but he's like, even this most recent start, he gave up 4 runs. He's had 1 start in his last 5 where he didn't give up at least 4 runs.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like he's like done something lately that's made me think, yes, I need to go get him.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of Brandon Woodruff at the beginning of the year where, you know, the ERA was high and he was giving up 4 runs. He was kind of flirting with quality starts, and Skaggs only had 2 of them this season. But I don't know. It seemed to be some positive indicators there. But, yeah, I mean, all right, he's 63% owned. And what is, so Scott said an 8. What did you say, Heath, for Skaggs?
A 6.
Okay. Nick Pivetta, 49% owned. Well, now he's up to 55% owned, I think. Nick Pivetta, 0-10?
I'd go 7. I'd rather have Pivetta than I would those guys, because I'd made the joke about how bad his next start could be, and I don't feel any certainty that Nick Pivetta has figured it out. But I do feel that if Nick Pivetta does figure it out, I could see him being a top 20 starting pitcher for the rest of the year.
Okay. But you'd rather have Heaney.
Yes. Heaney, Pivetta, Skaggs, Lynn.
Okay.
I'm going to go 8 on Pivetta. I'm going to drop Skaggs to 7 just to help.
Okay.
You know, help to differentiate here.
Last guy, we already talked about Plesac, so this would be the last guy. Trevor Richards. Control's getting a little bit better, and he's got Atlanta at home this week. Richards is only 39% owned. What do you think about Trevor Richards? 0-10.
This was my favorite stallion coming into the year, and Caleb Smith made that look ridiculous, but I still think he could be the second best, and he's going to have to do it for longer than this before I feel confident in him. I think I'd give him a 6. He's a little under-owned.
Okay, Trevor Richards. I went...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was thinking between 6 and 7.
All right. I went stallion hunting in our leagues, specifically for Trevor Richards, and I'm looking at our Memorial Magazine League. It's our long-running 12-team Roto League, and Trevor Richards is owned. He's on the same fantasy team as Caleb Smith and Pablo Lopez and Sandy Alcantara.
Yeah.
All Chris Towers. All Chris Towers. 4 stallions.
That league, Chris, by the way, is... I think Scott is probably still in first place, has been the most frustrating league. No matter what I do, I have between like 59 and 64 points constantly. There's been like normally early in the year, there are wild swings in your standings points, and I just stay in the same exact place.
You have 59 points.
Is,
yeah. Scott.
Is Chris the one who has Zach Gallen stashed away too?
I don't think so. No. Scott has 83 points. He's in second place. Heath has 59 points. Chris has 58 points, and I have 58 points. So how about
that? Who's in first place?
We're doing a really bad job.
Lathrop.
Greg Lathrop.
Lathrop.
Yeah.
4.5 points.
He's been in first place most of the year. I've sometimes passed him, but he's doing great.
Go get him, Scott. Represent. All right, quick break here on Fantasy Baseball Today. When we come back, this is a section called What? I wasn't supposed to say it with that high of a pitch there, but it's supposed to be like, what? There you go. Some pitching performances that just makes you scratch your head. All right, we'll be right back on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Like I said, Sunday was weird. This section called What? Adam Wainwright, 8 scoreless innings with 7 walks and 8 strikeouts against the Cubs. Merrill Kelly, 7 2/3, 1 run, 10 strikeouts against the Mets. Adrian Sampson, 7 innings, 1 run, 11 strikeouts against Kansas City. You got Wainwright, Merrill Kelly, and Adrian Sampson. Were you particularly moved to add any of them based on their Sunday performances?
No.
Okay, great. Then let's move on to the big news. Philadelphia acquired Jay Bruce. He is only 33% owned. I mentioned his road numbers. They're outstanding. He's hitting for a lot of power this year. 14 home runs. Batting average is terrible at .212. Okay, so here's the first question. It's from Ken in Los Angeles. I'm in an NL-only 5 outfielder roto league. When Jay Bruce is available on FAB, what's the most I should be willing to pay for him?
Ooh, 20%?
What format did he say it was? I missed it.
NL-only.
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 5 outfielder roto league.
Yeah. No, that sounds pretty good. I imagine there are going to be more impactful players that switch leagues between now and the trade deadline. I am somebody who in those league-specific formats tends to save almost all of his FAB for the big splash later. But, sometimes I think that proves unnecessary, and I regret not spending more. Bruce should at least provide you good power numbers, especially playing half his games in that park.
Is he going to play every day, or is he going to sit against lefties?
He might sit against lefties.
I would not expect him to play every day.
Okay. Now, remember, this is Odubel Herrera, likely going to be suspended here, so that's part of the reason why they're making this move for Bruce. He's not a good fielder. He obviously
probably
can't
bad news for Kingery.
Well, it could be bad news for Kingery, or it could be bad news for Michael Franco if they just stick Kingery at third, which I think fantasy owners would want to see. But maybe there's a little bit of a rotation between Bruce and Kingery in the outfield, Kingery and Franco at third base. We'll see. Okay, so it doesn't seem like you guys are too motivated to get Jay Bruce. Next piece of news, Joey Gallo is on the IL with an oblique injury. It's apparently not that bad. He said he spoke to Aaron Judge, and Aaron Judge had a worse injury in a different location within the oblique area. Joey Gallo is not quite as bad. He could miss just 2 weeks, fingers crossed. Yolish Chacin is on the IL, and Jimmy Nelson is expected to start on Wednesday. I don't know his ownership percentage, actually. Does anybody know Jimmy Nelson's ownership percentage?
I think it's over 70.
Okay. So would you rather own Andrew Heaney or Jimmy Nelson?
I'd rather own Heaney.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hope Jimmy Nelson's first two starts go like Heaney's have.
Alex Reyes could start for St. Louis this weekend. We talked about him. So how owned do you think he should be? He's, I think, 55, 57% on something like that. Alex Reyes.
Well, I would rather have Skaggs. So, you know, I called Skaggs 70%. Maybe 69 for Alex Reyes.
Okay.
I like that.
Very good. Thank you, Scott. Colorado called up Garrett Hampson. He started in center field. Heath, does that matter, Garrett Hampson?
I would like for it to matter, but they didn't cut Ian Desmond yet, right?
I don't think so. Sorry.
Like, retire him from baseball? If they would, then I'd be very excited about Garrett Hampson.
And Tampa Bay called up Nate Lowe. Does that matter?
It could.
They called him back up?
Yeah, he's back.
He's back?
I'm pretty sure.
Because they called him up for a day and sent him back down.
Oh, did he go back down already?
Yeah, I think with Yandy Diaz coming off the IL, they sent Lowe back down.
You are correct. You are correct, sir. Thank you. All right, Nate Lowe. Goodbye, Nate Lowe. Javier Baez, he did play yesterday. He's dealing with a heel injury. Matt Snyder on our website and CBSSports.com kind of detailed how much his numbers have been hurt since the heel injury, batting .227 with a .717 OPS going into Sunday's game. Before that, he was batting .319 with a .954 OPS. Mitch Garver is back. Mitch Garver should be 100% owned. He is 71% owned. Right, Mitch Garver? 100.
I mean, he's the Twins' primary leadoff hitter, and he was having his power production was incredible before he got hurt. So there is, you know, obviously a bit of a logjam there because Jason Castro has also had a good year, and Williams Astudillo factors in from time to time. But before he got hurt, Garver was earning a bigger and bigger share behind the plate, deservedly. I don't think his production is entirely sustainable, but a catcher, I mean, he'll take what you can get. I think he's definitely a top 10 option right now.
Let's name the catchers we'd rather have over Mitch Garver. Sanchez, Realmuto, Grandal, and who else?
Wilson Ramos.
Yeah, I'd rather have Ramos.
Well, now Yadier Molina's hurt. Is Buster Posey hurt too?
Buster Posey has a good chance of going on the IL. I wouldn't say good. He has a chance to go on the IL. I would rather have Garver. Yeah. Buster Posey stanks.
Omar Narvaez.
Narvaez?
Yep. Yep.
Over Garver?
But that might be it. Yeah, that looks like it. I'm pulling up my rankings now. Mitch Garver's my highest rank beyond those we've just named.
There you go. Should be a hundo. 100%. He's available in nearly 30% of leagues. And May was the most prolific month, a home run month in MLB history. We are on pace for a record there. I'd love to talk about that, but instead we got to talk about the bullpen. All right, guys, do you see any roles being changed here in bullpens? Jordan Hicks has been struggling. John Gant's actually a pretty good player, and he got a save yesterday in relief of Jordan Hicks. Taylor Rogers.
And Carmart got a save Saturday, right?
He did. I believe Hicks was unavailable for that game. Yes, Hicks pitched three innings over the previous two games. But yes, Carlos Martinez got a save Saturday. Gant relieved Hicks on Sunday. Taylor Rogers, possibly preferred over Blake Parker. That's a little unclear. Brandon Workman.
I'm so happy we found him in the For the People League.
Who?
Taylor Rogers. Yeah, we were able to pick him up a couple weeks ago.
Somebody
dropped him.
Yeah.
He got a save yesterday. The last save either he or Parker got was on May 20th, and it went to Parker. So, you know, we're talking like a two-week gap and no consistency in who they go to. So, yeah, this is looking as messy as the Rays situation. Just the pitchers aren't as good.
Yeah, Rogers got his first save since May 7th on Sunday. They just bludgeon people. They don't really get a lot of saves. But Brandon Workman, it's obvious that they're going to use Matt Barnes in different types of situations. Workman got his second save on Sunday. Richard Blyer got a save. I'm not even going to know. I guess if you're in a super deep league, Blyer, maybe you'll get some saves for the Orioles. Corbin Burnes got a save for Milwaukee. That was after that crazy like 14-inning game the day before. Luke Jackson appears to have solidified his role there. Anthony Bass got a save on Friday.
Unless, Kimbrel. What's free to happen now?
Yeah, Kimbrel.
I mean, it was always free to happen, but
yeah, now it's really free.
As of midnight last night, Craig Kimbrel and Dallas Keuchel also can sign with any team without that team having to forfeit a draft pick. So that's what everybody was assuming these teams were waiting on.
Without paying any money, they'll be set.
I would not be surprised if Kimbrel has a team before the end of the day, and the Braves are very much in that mix.
I also wouldn't be surprised if Anthony Bass gets the next save for the Mariners. I don't know how exciting that is for anybody, but it wouldn't surprise me. He's off to a good start this year with one run in 6 1/3 innings, no walks, 6 strikeouts. Not a great track record, but he did have a solid 15 1/3 innings last year for the Cubs. But they have a bad bullpen, so they don't have that many options. All right. I think the Cardinals situation is very interesting. So let's just sum up what we think about the Cardinals closer situation.
Hicks is still the most likely to get saves. He is on increasingly thinner ice.
You think Gant or you think Martinez would be the second in line?
I think you'd have to go Gant right now.
Okay. All right. Keep an eye on it, everybody. Yeah. We're going to take a look at the most added. Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
I'm also thinking we need to keep an eye on the Angels bullpen because Hansel Robles has blown two of his past four saves.
Yeah, Scott's just begging to do the impression. He's just begging for some more tie-battery.
I never know when we have enough time to.
Probably not today. But, you know, we only have four games today. So, Scott, are the Angels playing today? That would really be wonderful. If Ty Buttrey gets a save.
They are.
Okay, Ty Buttrey gets a save tonight. Or even if somebody else gets a save tonight, if we get some clarity on the situation.
I'm not going to be on tomorrow.
What? Why not? You're always on Tuesdays.
I'm not. Yeah, not this Tuesday.
Ugh. All right, well, I'll do it for you.
I know.
We'll take a look at the most added list. We'll come back right after this. Take a look at the most added, some more news and notes, some more hitters to take a look at, and all the pitching performances you need to know about from over the weekend. Be right back.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Any guesses as to who the most added player in CBS Sports Leagues is?
Nick Pivetta?
It's not even close. It's not him. I don't understand why more people aren't adding Nick Pivetta. I'm surprised. You're not going to like
it. I bet he's most cute.
I think if you go to his player page and you see the 6.5 ERA, that might make you wait just a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, most added list tends to go back several days, right? Cover several days worth of ad drops.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I would guess it's probably a two-star pitcher.
It is a two-star pitcher. Devin Smeltzer and Deltzer.
Ah.
Whoever Smeltzer, Deltzer, I don't know. He's at Cleveland and at Detroit.
I was trying to work in the Brewers had a smelting accident last time.
Well, he had a great start.
Not that good.
So this is Twins pitcher Devin Smeltzer. He had a great start against the Brewers. 6 innings, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts. He's at Cleveland and at Detroit this week. I can't argue with those matchups. And Smeltzer is 49% owned, I think I said. I don't know if I said it. 49% owned. All right, what do you think?
A minor smelting accident. That's the right wording. Man, I even messed it up. Gosh. He's weird. He's weird. Soft tossing lefty, but he dominated at AAA and then had a great first start. So just not a lot of comps for Devin Smeltzer, and that makes me highly skeptical. Maybe Alex Wood is a good comp. Just a deceptive lefty whose stuff isn't that overpowering, but he ends up being pretty useful. Maybe Smeltzer could be that.
Yeah, but you can't smelt wood. I don't know. There's something there. You think about it. Okay, Devin Smeltzer. Would you rather have Smeltzer or Plesac?
Plesac.
Yeah, I think there's It's just a more traditional profile, and that makes it something that I'm more confident will play in today's game.
Eric Lauer is also on the most added list. Philadelphia and Washington at home. He's 52% owned. So, Smeltzer or Lauer?
I will go Smeltzer. I don't see much upside in Lauer. I never have.
Okay. Heath, Renato Nunez, Lourdes Gurriel, and Brian Reynolds are on the most added list. How would you rank them if you were... Obviously, position matters, but Renato Nunez, Lourdes Gurriel, Brian Reynolds.
I think I have a team that might have all three of those starting on it this week, which is a kind of a problem. Definitely two of them. I will go with the two that I'm sure in my lineup. Nunez, Reynolds, Gurriel.
I think it's fair to say that Brian Reynolds is going to help with batting average, right? Like he hit for average in the minors. He doesn't hit a lot of fly balls. He's hitting the ball pretty hard. It looks like he has a very high BABIP, but he's had high BABIPs before.
Yeah.
I think he profiles to be that. And I don't think Brian Reynolds is going to do much else, but if you need some batting average, I believe he can give that to you.
He's not going to help near this much.
Okay. Alex Reyes, we've talked about him. David Fletcher, Griffin Canning up to 82% owned. We like that. Howie Kendrick, 41% owned. So would you rather pick up Howie Kendrick or Renato Nunez?
Nunez,
but they are back-to-back in my top 10 sleeper hitters for this week.
No.
The time we know Hendricks starts is against left-handed pitchers. He starts some against righties, too. But
Howie Kendrick?
I said Hendricks. I meant Kendrick. They got three on the schedule this week. So I suspect he's probably going to start at least four games, maybe more. And, every time he plays, he does something big, seems like.
Okay, some more players that are being added right now. Josh Fegley. I actually added him in our podcast Points League to replace Buster Posey. And quite frankly, it wouldn't surprise me if Fegley's better than Posey rest of season, particularly in Roto. But Posey, it still could be good in points. He just has to turn it around. But Fegley plays like all the time. He's actually been pretty solid for a catcher. Addison Russell's only 19% owned. Malik Smith, Nick Pivetta, you need to get them. Jorge Alfaro's 52% owned. Who do you like better, Alfaro or Fegley?
Alfaro.
In Roto, definitely Alfaro. Probably in both. This guy strikes out a ton, but that's always been true for him, and his batting average is not so bad.
Okay, Fegley is the number 10 catcher in points leagues. Alfaro is number 14. It is quite possible that Alfaro has been better than Fegley in Roto. Let's confirm. No, Fegley is 6th in Roto, and Alfaro is 9th. So they both are...
Fegley's been better Alfaro, but I think that the future of Alfaro is going to be better.
I didn't realize Fegley has such terrible plate discipline. 6 walks to 30 strikeouts. Okay, so that'll hold him back in that format. Back to the most added list. We'll finish up here. Didi Gregorius, 77% owned, could come off the IL this weekend. And we'll see the rotation there with the Yankees. I don't know really who's going to be hurt there.
Urshela, right?
No, it's their DH, basically, is going to get hurt. And I think you might see a little less of Gary Sanchez at DH. You'll see a little less of Urshela, but he's going to play most of the time.
Well, I mean, could Clint Frazier be hurt?
Oh, Clint Frazier's kind of... Yes.
He was kind of the laughingstock of baseball yesterday, which made me sad. But
They need to trade him. He needs to DH forever. He is a really bad fielder. It's really bad.
Well, he's young.
For
now. He can get better.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm bitter.
He's athletic. He should be better.
It wasn't a good night. It wasn't a good sports night. All right, to the news and notes. Byron Buxton basically threw to first base from the center field wall on a double play yesterday. If you haven't seen it, look it up. Zach Eflin's on the IL. Cole Irvin pitched yesterday or Saturday. He was used after an opener. I don't think we have much interest in Cole Irvin. Nelson Cruz could be back on Tuesday. Kyle Freeland to AAA. Colorado calling up Peter Lambert. Bad numbers in the minors and going to Colorado. Mike Clevenger could begin a rehab assignment this week. That's great. David Peralta could be back today. That's also great. Justin Turner is expected back today. Fernando Tatis will begin a rehab assignment today. Yusei Kikuchi will have his next start skipped. Mookie Betts is going to bat leadoff rest of season. Benintendi should be batting second now. Scooter Jeanette could begin a rehab assignment in 2 to 3 weeks, so he's still a little ways away. Charlie Blackmon is eligible to come off the IL on Tuesday, but he will not be back on Tuesday. Yoan Moncada is dealing with some leg soreness. I think it's just day-to-day. I believe he's expected to play, I believe, tomorrow. I don't think they're playing today, Moncada. But please check on that. Buster Posey, yeah, hamstring injury, could go on the IL. Tommy Pham and Avi Garcia have both been a little dinged up for the Rays. They are both expected to play in Tampa Bay's next game with Yandy Diaz, who is off the IL. And Miguel Cabrera is awaiting test results on his knee. And is this a little drastic? I don't know that Miguel Cabrera is going to be good ever again.
Fair.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know either. Like, he's hitting the ball well. He's just not elevating, right? That's,
yeah.
So there's no power behind it. Yeah. Maybe he needs to visit Doug Latta this offseason.
Maybe.
Take a page from Hunter Pence's book.
Doug Latta has knee replacement for him. Hitters. David Fletcher is 61% owned. Hunter Renfro is also 61% owned. Hunter Renfro is the number 40 outfielder in points leagues, which is really very surprising. I'm surprised it's that low. But he's number 23 in Roto, where the walk to strikeout ratio doesn't hurt him. Renfro, like, let's give Renfro some credit here. I mean, this guy's got 17 home runs. What?
He's also not an everyday player, which hurts.
Yeah.
More in points leagues than.
So how often does he sit? Because Renfro, I mean, 17 home runs for Renfro. He's got real power.
Often does he sit?
He's playing pretty much every day.
When he plays, it forces Will Myers to center, which is not great. And, you know, Will Myers sometimes himself sits. But they haven't sent down Josh Naylor yet, and that's cut into Renfro's playing time some here recently.
Renfro has started a lot, 14 of the last 16 games.
Yeah.
So that, wait, I mean,
yes?
Yes. So 14 of the last 16 games for Renfro.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But yeah. Are they starting to play him more? You know, he's earning it.
Yeah.
They should. Yeah.
It looks like it's come at the expense of Franmil Reyes more recently, too.
Mm. Well, that's...
So he's...
Well, that's, I mean, with Franmil's Naylor, too.
Had a pretty good year, but Renfro's just been better, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, 17 home runs, you can't really ignore that. I know. Look, here's the thing with Renfro. We know he has power. Probably, I don't know about this much power, but everybody's hitting for a lot of power. It's the batting average, okay? He's batting .261, and you can live with that with Renfro because he hit .231 as a rookie, .248 the year after that. So can he hit .261? Otherwise, you know, he's probably just a five outfielder league guy if he's a .240 hitter. You know, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, he's a five outfielder guy if he's playing 5 days a week, too.
He's really making a bid for more playing time, though, you know?
He is. I think part of the when you were saying 14 of the last 16, that was played in, not started, right?
That was started.
No, it started. Yeah.
Okay, so they
now,
just had a lot of.
Now, keep in mind, they had a DH for six of those games.
Yeah.
All right, so you know what? Let's keep an eye on Hunter Renfro. It's 61% owned. Josh Reddick is 35% owned. He has been starting. You know, they have obviously a lot of outfield injuries. He's having a decent year, and 35%? I don't know. Thoughts on Reddick at that ownership?
That's a little low. Probably be owned anywhere you need five outfielders.
Okay, and then here's a group of guys who are barely owned. Orlando Arcia is actually 18% owned. He's the only guy in this group that's owned in more than 5% of leagues. Tell me if you're interested in adding any of them. Arcia, Mike Yastrzemski of the Giants, Mets outfielder Dominic Smith, Astros outfielders Derek Fisher and Matt Straw, Garrett Cooper for Miami, and Josh Naylor for the... Naylor's actually 8% owned, I lied. Naylor for the Padres. Arcia, Yastrzemski, Dominic Smith, Derek Fisher, Matt Straw, Garrett Cooper, Josh Naylor.
I actually did put in a bid for Mike Yastrzemski in both of my 15-team Roto leagues, so five outfielder, 15-team leagues. It's hard to fill all five outfield spots in a league that deep. And Yastrzemski has some good on-base skills, so particularly if it's like an OBP league, as Tout Wars is, 15-team five outfielders, OBP instead of batting average. I may actually be starting him this week in that format. Also interested in I think it's Miles Straw of the Astros. You called him Matt here.
Why do I keep doing that with all the Astros?
I don't know. They're all Matts.
No, I called. What did I call Caleb Martin instead of Corbin Martin? Straw.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hope I'm right about this.
You know,
Miles Straw.
Millennials. This is what they name their kids. These aren't they?
No, not at all.
I guess they are millennials, right?
Yeah, Miles I don't think the millennials. Their parents the kids are millennials.
Yeah.
Their parents
Gen
are
Xers. Gen Xers. What do they name their kids? Straw had 3 stolen bases in yesterday's game and was a big base stealer in the minors. Like, that's the main thing he does. He started back-to-back games for the Astros. I don't know. Miles seems like a hip name, right?
Miles is a totally legit name. It's a very...
I mean...
Like Miles Davis?
My kids' names are not exactly Chris and Matt, so I guess I can't say too much.
I can't remember your youngest son. I know Everett and...
Marshall.
Those are way more hip than Miles.
You are the
millennial.
Do you guys know my son's name?
No idea.
I can't remember
one
anything.
Of Scott's kids is very upset in the background. All right, I'm going to give you multiple choice, and we'll see if you can guess my son's name. Okay. Heath, did you have anything to say about these barely owned hitters?
I think with the Astros schedule this week, that all of those outfielders all the Astros are interesting in any type of deeper league, because even if they only play 4 games, they might be good.
Okay.
Yeah. I think of Miles Teller. He just looks like the face of what it means to be a millennial.
All right. Option A for Baby Azer. Is it A, Andrew, B, Matt, C, Hunter, or D, Evan?
It's A.
I think it's Andrew.
It is.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of A's in the family. Okay, studs being studs. Let's talk about some pitchers. A lot of pitching performances to break down. I think this is a busier day of notes than almost any Monday, I think, so far this year. I just thought so many compelling pitching performances over the weekend. Scott, of course, wasn't moved to add anybody over the weekend. He thought this weekend was super boring, and we disagree. But no, studs being studs, part one. Max Scherzer struck out 15 Reds, and he actually got a win, and now he is 3-5. Clayton Kershaw. Let me tell you something weird about Clayton Kershaw. I've been noticing this. I've been following his starts pretty closely. Through the first few innings, like, he always has like 5 strikeouts, and then after 7 innings, he has like 6. So, third time through the order, he has only 14 strikeouts in 17 innings. First time through the order, he has 26 strikeouts in 21 innings. Now, his ERA, his batting average against, they're all still pretty good. It's just weird. He's getting all his Ks early. Herman Marquez had a good start at home, 2 runs in 7 innings. And David Price slayed the Giants. He beat the Yankees thanks to good pitching and terrible umpiring, a very generous strike zone. I was going to punch that umpire in the face via my TV yesterday. But
you would never punch anyone in the face in person.
Correct.
No, David Price, I think we told everyone to start him.
I did. I said start him.
It was nice to see him be good, and this silly not good versus the Yankees thing not be true.
It's not silly. Like, never seen a team dominate someone
this
the way
started
they dominate
5
Price.
Years ago?
I went back the last 3 years, and it's like unbelievable.
Okay. 3 years ago, how many of the Yankees that were in the lineup yesterday were on the Yankees?
That's why I said to start him. That's why I said start him. And the answer to that question is probably just Gardner and Hicks.
They're 2 worst hitters right now?
Pretty much. All right, no, but sorry. So Scherzer, Kershaw, Marquez, anything to say about those guys?
You're just dying to write off Clayton Kershaw. I feel it every time he pitches.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can't stand it.
Yeah.
He's a little bit like Zach Greinke, which has worked out well for both those guys.
Not this weekend for Greinke. No, I've come to terms with Kershaw as his control is so good. His team is so good. They win pretty much every time he plays. I like Kershaw a lot. I think he's going to go on the IL.
He's not as good as he used to be.
He's going
to
go on the IL again. That's my issue.
He's still a top 10 starting pitcher.
He's a weird pitcher.
I've actually got him 6th now.
I'd still take
Bauer.
That's
higher than I have.
I'd take Bauer over him, and I'd take Nola over him, and that might be very controversial.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think Bauer is. But Nola, maybe.
Like, Bauer, it's pretty clear now that last year was just the blip on the radar, right? You can look at his career, and he is the same pitcher that he was for 3 years before last year.
Isn't his strikeout rate huge? And his last two starts, he stopped walking hitters.
He just started hitting them.
I don't agree.
I think he was not a good pitcher, and he's like at least good this year. 2 years ago, he kind of had the semi breakout, and then last year was the big step forward.
Well, that's exactly
right. But before
that,
he was just a bad pitcher.
I think you look at Trevor Bauer. I'll get you the numbers in 2017. Just after the All-Star break, his last 13 appearances, 12 starts, 2.42 ERA, 85 strikeouts and 78 innings, and he changed his arsenal at that point. So I think that's when this version of Trevor Bauer started, and I don't think that it was a fluke. I think he backed it up last year, and I think he's really good. I just think he's struggling.
I would just say this. He has, if we're not counting 2012 and 2013, because he threw 33 innings in those two combined, he has the second highest FIP of his career. He has the highest XFIP of his career. He has the highest Sierra of his career.
He has the highest walk rate of the last 5 years. If he gets that down, then all of the peripherals are going to look better. You know,
that is true.
He's still hard to hit.
Yeah.
6.7 hits per nine. Yeah. It was 6.9 last year. I still believe he's going to be hard to hit. It's the strikeouts. But the thing is, what Kershaw lacks in strikeouts, he does make up for in wins. And I know we don't like to chase wins or anything like that, but a guy who pitches deep into games for arguably the best team in baseball is going to win a lot of games, even though he got...
Yeah, and Bauer pitches deep into games, too. If he stays healthy, I have very little doubt Bauer's going to finish the year with 200 innings and 200 strikeouts, which is... good, even before you dig into ratios. Like, it's, you're not a bad pitcher if you do that.
Unless you're Chris Archer. So, bold prediction on Trevor Bauer. The Indians will go 1-5 this week against the Twins and the Yankees, and Trevor Bauer will be traded within 2 weeks.
They should trade him to the Padres.
Sure.
For some of their outfielders.
Yeah. Great. Hunter Renfroe for Trevor Bauer. That's fair. Studs being studs, part two. You know what? Let me see if I want to call an audible here. Because, listen, we got four games today. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to save all the studs, all the guys who are like very own for tomorrow's show, because we're going to need some topics, especially since Scott's not on, apparently. Let's go to the fringies. Guys, you might actually be able to pick up. Okay, part one. These guys are 65 to 79% owned. Pretty big group here. Actually, it's not that big of a group. I just have some typos and I put guys in the wrong section. Matt Strom was awful against the Marlins for some reason. He had been very good. His previous nine starts, he had a 2.53 ERA. So Matt Strom, Sonny Gray, Steven Matz, Yanni Chirinos, Kyle Gibson. Okay, so... let me just tell you right now, I screwed up with the video team. I gave them the wrong name, so that's totally my bad. The names that we should be talking about, if I had done this properly, are Strom, Gray, Steven Matz, Yanni Chirinos, and Kyle Gibson. All of these guys are owned in 68% of leagues or more. Who do you like from that group? Heath?
Sonny Gray, I think, is my favorite of the group. Strom's start was frustrating, but I'm willing to give him a pass on one of them. Matz was a guy I was just kind of starting to maybe believe in again, and then he was bad, so I'm going to not. And Samardzija, I feel like, we just took advantage of good matchups this week. He's not actually good.
And another guy is Joey Lucchesi, Scott. So he has, what, two or three quality starts in a row, finally? And
yeah,
I mean, he's faced Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Miami in his last three starts. He's been really good.
Yeah, it's been a good four start stretch for him, and he has two really good pitches. I just still wonder if he's going, given that there are known limitations in terms of how deep he can pitch into games, if he's going to be consistent enough with the ratios to be an asset. Like, I would rank him behind Matt Strom now if we're pursuing Padres pitchers, even with the way Lucchesi's performed recently.
Okay, here are the Fringy starting pitchers part two. That, you know, that I should have properly given to the video crew. I apologize, guys. We've got Chris Bassett. Actually, this one I think is correct. Chris Bassett, Spencer Turnbull, and Brad Keller. Who do you like in that group?
Turnbull. He's the only one I like. And I'm surprised he's only 58% owned.
Me too. Nobody seems to be buying it. It's 284 ERA, about a strikeout per inning, 123 whip. Only one quality start in his last five starts for Turnbull. He gets Tampa Bay this week.
And that doesn't help. Neither of those helps. But he's been pretty reliable, and with at least he's at least a decent strikeout pitcher. So yeah, I don't think he's available in any of my leagues, or else I would have been picking him up.
In a vacuum, Turnbull is definitely the one I like the most over the rest of the season. I might be more willing to start Brad Keller just because of the SPARP eligibility and the matchup against the White Sox this week.
Part three, Heath, Fringy starting pitchers, Danny Duffy, Tyler Malley, CeCe Sabathia, and then I actually will throw in Jeff Samardzija and Ryan Yarbrough to this group. But Samardzija, Yarbrough, and Duffy, Malley, and Sabathia.
Yeah, we know what CeCe Sabathia is, and there are times that you can use him, and it's fine. Malley is the only one that gets me kind of excited, and this is a step backwards for Duffy.
And Sabathia, this might be a week you can use him at Cleveland. The problem is he just barely ever pitches six innings. He did last night, only the second time this season. In deep leagues, can we talk a little bit more about Tyler Malley? Eight strikeouts. It was a good and bad start. 16 swinging strikes, eight strikeouts against the Nationals, but three runs in five innings. Yeah, I don't know. What do you do with that?
I think Malley is in kind of the same boat as Joey Lucchese, where they're, you know, he kind of peaks at six innings and doesn't even get to go that deep because the arsenal's limited. And the pitches are pretty effective, but are they effective enough that he's going to have dominant ratios? Because I think when you have that kind of workload limitation, that's what you need to be a true asset. I think he's just a matchups type right now, kind of like Sabathia, frankly.
Let's finish the show with some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. This is from Joe. What's the word on Angels outfielder Cesar Puello?
Doesn't look like he's going to have a chance at everyday at bats. He's had three really good games when he started, but it's going to be a matchup situation there. He's a 28-year-old rookie who had like a 65% ground ball rate at AAA. So I'm skeptical there's going to be enough power production, even when he does play, in the long run.
From Cesar Puello. Okay, Heath, this is from Dylan. Gene Segura or Eduardo Escobar in a 12-team 6x6 categories league?
I feel like Gene Segura has gotten a raw deal this year because he's actually been very good for most of the year, and or at least especially lately, and there's just too many shortstops playing well to really acknowledge him. But I do have Escobar two spots ahead of Segura.
From Nick, 12-team categories league. The Boston Bruins are two wins away from a Stanley Cup. Get excited.
I am no less excited than I've ever been for a Stanley Cup final. No more excited either.
You know, Scott, I wish you had lived in South Florida when the Panthers went to the Stanley Cup. It was actually really, really exciting. They
Scott,
got swept.
Do you know who
though.
The Bruins are playing in the Stanley Cup finals?
Who are the Bruins playing?
Goldschmidt.
The Minnesota Wild.
DeYoung,
I have no idea.
Carpenter. Reyes. Wainwright.
Patrick Mahomes was there cheering and chugging beers.
Gosh, okay, so Kansas City doesn't have a team.
There's right? a big arch.
The St. Louis Blues?
You got it. Yes. Good job. You only needed six clues. AJ in Jersey. Subject line, Jacoby Jones. Any interest in him in a roto league? He's been playing every day and hitting the ball well. Looks like he could steal double-digit bases. Any interest in Jacoby Jones of the Tigers?
Nope.
Hail only.
And from Brendan, in a points league, should I hold on to Brendan Rodgers? Well, I dropped Brendan Rodgers yesterday. I needed to, but you can hold on to him. But I don't think you have to. He hasn't been playing well.
Well, here's the
content. Every day.
Would you drop him for any of the following? Travis Shaw, Robinson Cano, Lourdes Gurriel, are the threes he lists here.
Oh, Cano. Yeah.
And I would drop him for Cano.
Yeah. Cano should be back pretty soon.
Yeah.
I dropped him for Josh Fegley because I needed a catcher. Thank you, everybody. Good show today. We'll have another one tomorrow. You know what? Maybe we'll do a first round draft tomorrow. That could be fun. Send us your emails.
It will be fun.
Fantasy.
I'm not here either on Tuesday.
Yeah, no.
You and Chris.
Me and Chris drafting the first round. No, we got to do that with three people. We got to do that with three people. I'm sorry. Fantasy baseball at CBSI.com. We'll talk to you on Tuesday on Fantasy Baseball Today.